Welcome to another podcast of our sermon series. Each week we will try and put up a recording for you about the sermon and any other interesting tidbits. So this week we'll include our sermon from Pentecost Sunday, as well as two scripture readings, one from the book of Numbers and the other from the book of Psalms. We hope that you enjoy listening to our podcast from First Presbyterian Church of Baldwin, and come back each week to hear more about how we are exploring and learning about how God is still speaking to us in this time and place. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Numbers. It can be found in chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. Listen now as God speaks through the Holy Word. So Moses went out and told the people the Lord's words. He assembled 70 men from the people's elders and placed them around the tent. The Lord descended in a cloud, spoke to him, and took some of the Spirit that was on him and placed it on 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but only this once. Two men had remained in camp, one named Eldad and the second named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they hadn't gone out of the tent, so they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, Nun's son and Moses' assistant since his youth, responded, "My master Moses, stop them." Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? If only all the Lord's people were prophets, with the Lord placing his Spirit on them." Moses and Israel's elders were assembled in the camp. Holy Wisdom, Holy Word. The second scripture reading comes from Psalm 104, verses 24 through 35. Listen now to the word of God. Lord, you have done so many things. You made them all so wisely. The earth is full of your creations, and there's the sea, wide and deep, with its countless creatures, living things both small and large. There go ships on it, and Leviathan, which you made, plays in it. All your creations wait for you to give them their food on time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled completely full. But when you hide your face, then they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you let loose your breath, they are created, and you make the surface of the ground brand new again. Let the Lord's glory last forever. Let the Lord rejoice in all he has made. He has only to look at the earth and it shakes. God just touches the mountains and they erupt in smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I'm still alive. Let my praise be pleasing to him. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Let sinners be wiped clean from the earth. Let the wicked be no more. But let my whole being bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Holy Wisdom, Holy Word. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and Pentecost is typically a time when we talk about the Spirit of God being poured upon the church on a particular day where flames danced upon people's heads, and everybody spoke in their own tongue and yet heard each other and understood. Today is not going to be a day when we talk about that classic understanding, but instead we are going to talk about what it is to be filled with the Spirit and to speak on behalf of God and to speak as a prophet. In this day, in this time, in this place, on Pentecost Sunday, we gather to hear how God is still speaking. To be so bold is to believe that God might speak through us, and that we might be vessels of God's word. So, today, let's explore what it means to be filled with the Spirit, and to know what it is when someone speaks on God's behalf. Simply put, prophets do speak on God's behalf. In Psalm 104, we bear witness to the creation prophesying for God. Here the Spirit speaks through the rocks, the trees, the waters, indeed everything that God has created. In the book of Acts, everyone the Spirit falls upon is able to speak and be heard in their native tongues. Then in Numbers, we see that Eldad and Medad scandalize the community by prophesying without the designation of priestly prophetic authority, causing the people to complain and Moses to respond, "Ugh, if only God's people would all act as those who you are scandalized by. Imagine a world. If only all God's children were prophets." Pentecost is a day that marks when the Spirit fell upon the church. Today we grow in faith and in love by exploring what it means to be a prophet. First, a word of caution. There are many who would proclaim that they speak for God, and there are nearly as many among that group who are going to be mistaken. You see, most people who claim to be prophets are false prophets. And don't be misled by these false prophets. Instead, I would say welcome and recognize the marks of the Spirit that live within the true prophet, and listen to God who speaks through those people. You see, a true prophet always speaks on behalf of God, while a false prophet bolsters their own desires. God desires abundant life for all people. Recall that story of the Tower of Babel. In this story, God comes and scatters the people because they are unified in their desire to build a tower. Such a unity of vision eventually would place the bricks themselves above the worth of a worker. In such a world, where community is destroyed at the sacrifice of accomplishing one single task, God comes in and says, "Be scattered and diverse." The desire to build more than they can is a desire that takes place of the community. It puts their interests over the interests of the community, and God becomes infuriated, scattering the people. Once that confusion takes place, language is diverse in our mythological understanding of Scripture, and we use this story to point toward how God delights in giving special attention to people who are marginalized or oppressed, people who don't have a voice, and finding ways to give voice to those groups. Here in this scripture story, we find sharp contrast to what happens in the gospel and in the book of Acts. For in Acts, we find that the people all speak in their own language and are understood in their own context. Unlike the Tower of Babel, where they are unified in trying to accomplish a task, the unity in the book of Acts and the Pentecost story of tradition is one that is rich with diversity. In contrast to Babel, the story of Pentecost, where the church is blessed and born, is because all are given a voice and a place to speak. This leads to the second mark of what it means to be a true prophet. For a true prophet will build community that resembles the kingdom of God, a place where all have belonging, and a false prophet will create and support a world where there are winners and losers, where some clearly belong and others are simply disposable. The false prophet says it's okay to throw people away. The true prophet says that's not where God is, and we must find a place so that all have a sense of belonging. For the prophet, someone who is wrong always remains redeemable, no matter how vile or wicked or confused or whatever other label. The prophet always helps find a place where redemption and reconciliation are fruits of God's Spirit. When the oppressed are freed, they don't become oppressors themselves. And when the oppressors are removed from power, they cannot become oppressed. This is the world of the beloved community where everyone belongs. It is the same beloved community as spoken by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and it is the same community that Archbishop Desmond Tutu sought to create with people after guiding his nation through a process of truth and reconciliation. Where truth is shared and people can weep and mourn together of the difficult times that they've gone through, the possibilities for forgiveness and reconciliation bear the fruit of true community. Dorothy Day was another prophet who gave a good vision of what it was to live in community. Dorothy Day worked to build intentional communities in New York, places where all who lived there would find equal footing. Her communities were similar to those described by the people who lived in the early part of the book of Acts, where resources were shared in common and wealth was distributed so that all had enough and all had abundant life. You see, King Tutu and Day were all prophets who spoke and built examples of God's kingdom community. And like the people in the Book of Numbers, their actions were often met by scorn from people who felt they didn't know their own place, which can be another mark of a true prophet. Often true prophets speak with power, and often true prophets will speak difficult truths to people in power. You see, true prophets speak truth to power in ways that are both difficult to hear and also able to be heard. Sure, their words are going to be salty, but they're not going to be so salty that they're unpalatable. And if they are difficult to swallow, they'll never be so repulsive that they can't be digested. False prophets, on the other hand, will speak in ways that are terminal. You won't be able to swallow some of the things that the false prophet speaks of. You see, the false prophet will damn and dismiss. The false prophet will use words that exclude guests from God's holy banquet table, while the words of the prophet will always seek to make space for one more person until every person has a place. It doesn't mean that the prophet is tolerant of injustice or says anything goes. Quite the opposite. It means that the prophet despises the wicked act as much as God would, and that the prophet will work to show the other the error of their ways in order that all may be redeemed. The true prophet doesn't stand alongside injustice, but works to bring about a true sense of justice, rooted in forgiveness, truth, and grace.